call this meeting of the House Ways and Means Committee to order and note for the record that a quorum is present. And so, good morning. Our plan today is to meet during our regular time from now until noon to do House Files 3, 1999 and 463. And then we will recess and come back at approximately 6 p.m., hopefully exactly 6 p.m., but you can just watch your email where we will take up House File 2073. And the reason is that that will get engrossed on the floor today and will be in our possession this afternoon, so we'll be able to take that bill up. And then this will be our last day of meeting before the break, and then we'll get rolling again when we come back on Tuesday with, I think we go to floor first, gavel in, and then we will come to ways after floor on Tuesday when we return from the break. So that's the plan for the day. And with that, our first order of business is the approval of the minutes from Monday, March 27. Vice Chair Edelson, can I get a motion?
Yes, that's my motion.
So the motion is the approval of the minutes. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed, please say nay. The motion prevails and the minutes are adopted. The first bill for today is House File 3, Representative Greenman. And while you make your way up to the table, I move that House File 3 be re-referred to the General Register. Welcome back to the committee. Good to see you. And you have an amendment as well, the A20 amendment. Would you like to move that first, or would you like me to move that to get the bill ready?
Thank you, Madam Chair, I would.
So I move the A20 amendment, and would you just briefly explain this amendment? And we have the appropriations, and we usually don't do a ton of policy here, but there's reason for it that I hope you'll explain.
Yep.
So with that, Representative Greenman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The A20 amendment reflects changes that we made to the House File 3 language that were discussed and adopted in Elections Committee in the markup of the omnibus bill, as well as adding appropriations to the bill. I'll just briefly describe the revisions in A20 that were adopted in elections last week. It deletes redundant language on what plaintiffs might demonstrate for civil action for voter intimidation. It amends the ban on foreign influence corporation to move back several effective dates to January 1, 2024, and adds language clarifying that a person's ownership of U.S. mutual funds are excluded from the calculation of a person's ownership interest. It clarifies that DHS's work to implement AVR is contingent upon an appropriation being available for that purpose, and it includes some minor conforming changes with the Senate companion. We did all of that in and discussed the amendment in elections last week. Relevant to this committee, the amendment adds an appropriation article, which I will discuss when I discuss the underlying bill, but it includes $100,000 in 2024 and $100,000 in 2025 for the Attorney General, a general fund appropriation of $709,000 in 2024 and $152,000 in 2025 for the Secretary of State, an appropriation of $45,000 from the Vehicle Services account for the Commissioner of Public Safety for DVS.
Thank you, Representative Greenman. Discussion to the A20 amendment. Representative Nash.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm just curious, and the elections chair is here, is there a reason that amendments were not engrossed in the bill as it was leaving the elections committee if they were adopted in the elections committee? I'm trying to figure out why we're dealing with these here, because this is, we don't typically do policy here, and just trying to get the lay of the land on how we arrived at this amendment here in committee today.
Sure. And I can ask Chair Freiberg to comment on that, maybe Representative Greenman, and we'll see if we can get an answer. Chair Freiberg.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. You might want to direct the question to Representative Greenman. You know, my understanding is these reflect some suggestions she received fairly late in the process. As she mentioned, we did hear this in the Elections Committee last Friday, so this is just I know it's unusual in this committee, but this is language that's been thoroughly vetted in the Elections Committee, and so we're just making the language line up with how it appears in the omnibus bill. But I believe Representative Greenman can explain the process to as to why these changes happened.
Representative
Greenman. Thank you, Madam Chair. And so there's parallel language in the omnibus bill that will be engrossed. The changes are mostly to conform with the process and what the Senate, what the House and Senate have done to line up in the committee process. This bill then has been heard twice in the Elections Committee at the beginning and at the end, and so we wanted to just make sure that we are incorporating those changes now before we get to the floor.
Representative Nash.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I guess I'm just confused because it sounded as if this was an amendment that was discussed, this particular language was discussed in the committee, and if that's the case and it was voted on, it should have gone into that engrossment leaving committee. So if it was an idea that was talked about in committee and then it's here before us as an amendment, I think that the Elections Committee, at least my members on the Election Committee, should have the ability to have fully discussed it, and that seems like we're skipping a step. I wasn't going to vote for the bill to start off with, but I will. I just think that we're skipping steps, Madam Chair, and in as much as we had to preface this amendment as something that didn't quite check the boxes in the Elections Committee, I have concerns, and I think Representative Heintzman does as well. But this is not how it should work. This is not how we do things. So thank you.
Thank you, Representative Nash. And just to be clear, this was in Representative Greenman and I had a conversation about it. This does match what is in the omnibus bill, the elections omnibus bill. So the language, but in so trying to get both the omnibus bill and this as a standalone for the language to match. Great. Representative Nash.
So, Madam Chair, would it be safe to say then that you're willing to have policy discussions in Ways and Means, or is this truly an aberration?
Representative Nash, there's no hard and fast here, as you know better than anybody. And so we did really work to make sure that we were having the right language vetted and adopted in the right spot. So Representative Greenman, do you want to comment any more on the 820?
What I would just say is we did have a discussion about this language change to the House file, the underlying provisions in House File 3 in elections, and I look forward to adopting the amendment.
So any further discussion to the A20?
Yeah, I
need Representative Heintzman.
Yes, Chair. I just want to confirm something, and I'm new to this committee, so if I've misunderstood something, I apologize. But I continue to hear from the bill author that this language was heard, or this bill was heard. I just want to confirm that each of the changes that are in this A20 amendment were in front of the Elections Committee. Am I misunderstanding, or is there something sideways here?
Representative Greenman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The one thing that looks different is this first provision, which was, and I can have staff talk about it. It actually doesn't, it adds language that the underlying statute was revised this year. And so maybe I will have Matt Gearing describe why this was added on the advice of staff. And it has to do with the underlying amendment or the underlying language that this bill doesn't amend.
Mr. Gearing, would you? Welcome to the committee, Mr. Gearing. Please introduce yourself for the record and proceed.
Madam Chair, Matt Gearing from House Research. I staff the Elections Committee. So the section 2 that you see on page 1 of the A20 amendment is not actually new policy language for the bill. So what you're seeing here is actually an update of the underlying section of statute because it has previously been amended this session. So as a sort of administrative process, we need to update the head note for that section of statute, as you see on lines 1.3 and 1.4, to reflect the fact that section 171.06 sub 3 has been amended by laws 2023, chapter 13, this session. And so the only way to do that is to formally amend that new section of statute into the bill so that you're amending the current version of the statutes.
Representative Heintzman.
Nothing further.
Any further discussion to the A20? Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed, please say nay.
Nay. No.
The motion prevails and the A20 amendment is adopted. to your bill as amended, Representative Greenman.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members. I'm grateful to be here to be able to present House File 3, the Democracy for the People Act. This bill defends and strengthens Minnesota's best traditions of inclusive voter participation, sound elections administration, and grassroots people-powered democracy. Over the last 3 months and six committee stops, we've heard and discussed the policy provisions that are important and why they're important to strengthen the power of Minnesota voters. So I will try to confine these remarks to the jurisdiction of this committee, to the fiscal costs associated with House File 3 related to the implementation and enforcement of these provisions. By way of background, the implementation and enforcement relates to the three articles. One includes policy to strengthen the freedom to vote, including allowing 16 and 17-year-olds to pre-register to vote, providing automatic voter registration through DVS, and future expansion to the agencies that collect the necessary information, and providing permanent absentee voter lists that voters can opt in to get a ballot in the mail. Article 2 includes policy to protect voters, including provisions protecting voters from intimidation, harassment, and deceptive practices, and providing language.
portion of the bill is. And I've done a little bit of work in the campaign world, and I'm wondering if we're giving the campaign finance board the power to subjectively determine what is election material. And if that's the case, maybe you could help me understand why we're doing that in this bill.
Representative Greenman.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Representative Heitenspin. What we're doing here is adopting the federal language that's been on the books for a while, and it actually helps the campaign finance board clarify. What we're doing is saying this is the definition of if you are doing express advocacy, you have to file and report as an independent expenditure. And what we saw in committee, I think more than one committee, was ads that by just leaving off the vote for, vote against, but look, and if for anybody, it's hard to tell the difference, are the functional equivalent of express advocacy. It requires you to file. And I don't think it is subjective. If you look at the words, it says could only be interpreted by a reasonable person as containing advocacy. It says the elections portion is unmistakable, unambiguous, and suggestive of only one meeting. Reasonable minds could not differ. So what this is doing is saying you can't evade the requirements by just not using these four magic words when the entire, whether it's an advertisement, the expenditure is designed to expressly advocate, clearly identify a candidate for or against their election.
Thank you, Chair. Representative Greenman, you know, I think I understand what you're saying, but I'm not sure that I agree with your conclusion. It seems to me that we're expanding the definition of express advocacy, and I'm wondering, will this lead to campaigns having to go to the campaign finance board to try and determine if their materials are kosher or not? I'm just trying to figure out why the federal language isn't sufficient. We're seeming to having to add to that additional language.
Representative Greenman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Currently under Minnesota law, we have a narrower definition than the federal. This definition of express advocacy that we are adding is the federal definition. And so we are adding the federal definition. We're also not talking just so that folks, and not everybody's deep in the weeds of campaign finance reform. We're talking about independent expenditures. So we're not talking about candidate campaigns, committees, not talking about party campaign committees. We're talking about that outside money that in some cases isn't being reported at all. And what this does is say if it is express advocacy, if it is the fudge functional equivalent, which is no reasonable person could interpret it as anything else, that those are required to report as an independent expenditure and report their express advocacy.
Representative Hines.
Just a comment, Chair. I don't know that folks reading this language outside of the room believe that this is simply keeping with the federal government and other legal decisions. So I hope that we're not misstating that, and we'll find out, I guess, later as this bill continues to move forward.
Further discussion? Representative Mitch.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Representative Greenman, I don't think we've ever agreed on this bill. And we still remain friendly, and we'll still do so, but this is a widely expansive bill that I have heard in my times when elections was in state government finance. I think this broadens the definition of express advocacy that Citizens United does not contain. I feel like this is going to be challenged in court within like 12 seconds of it getting signed into law, and I think that may be part of the underlying intent, but I would encourage members to vote no here in committee and push your no button on the floor as many times as you possibly can. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Seeing no further discussion, I'll go to Representative Greenman to final word on your bill.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. And I certainly don't think my intent is to get sued. And I will say on the express advocacy provision, that is the federal standard, which has been through litigation. But I look forward to that conversation on the floor. Here's what I will say. We have had a lot of good conversation about this bill and about the importance of ensuring that we're protecting Minnesotans, communities, and the folks who administer our elections over the last couple of months. And I'm really looking forward to bringing this bill to the floor and to having the important conversation about how we're ensuring that Minnesotans, not special interests, not corporations, are the ones at the center of our elections. And with that, Madam Chair, I would ask for your support.
Thank you, Representative Greenman. I renew my motion that House File 3, as amended, be re-referred to the General Register. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed, please say no.
No.
The motion prevails, and House File 3, as amended, has been re-referred to the General Register. Thank you, Representative Greenman. The next bill up is House File 1999, Representative Lilly.
I don't really have many things I'm going to say.
So, Representative Lilly, being you're on the committee, I will have you make a motion that House File 1999 be re-referred to the General Register. And we have the bill in front of us. So you have a A5 amendment. Would you like to move that first? Or would you like to describe your bill? I defer to you on that. So that's the A5 with some of the appropriation changes.
Madam Chair, I think I'd like to go through the bill and then just do the amendments, or if
okay.
That's okay.
That sounds great. All right. So proceed with describing your bill, Representative Lilly.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, committee members. Good morning. House File 1919 is a legacy bill for this session, and our committee's been working on this quite diligently. Just so everyone knows, in 2008, the voters of Minnesota voted to amend the Constitution to add a sales tax of 0.375%, and essentially that's these funds. This number has gotten keeps growing. People like to buy things, especially after I think during COVID and after COVID, and where we captured some of the sales tax that's happened, and so now it's up to about $821 million, and this money goes towards our natural resources, parks and trails, and arts and cultural heritage projects all over the state. With no other state in the country having this type of dedicated fund, quite honestly, the legacy amendment makes Minnesota a very unique place and an envy of many other states in the country. Minnesota's forests and prairies and wetlands have received will receive nearly $170 million to restore, enhance, and protect them in the future for future generations. Decades of overuse and development have severely diminished abundant habitat and wildlife, which were once part of our state's landscape. Legacy funds are instrumental in saving our pollinators and our habitat, and even sequestering carbon, which is very important as we're trying to mitigate climate change. With over 11,842 lakes and 92,000 miles of rivers and streams, Minnesota has more freshwater shoreline than any other state except for Alaska. And this bill invests $319 million in making sure that our lakes are safer and more fishable, and that our waters is abundantly clean. So that's also through this pandemic, Minnesota relied heavily on our parks and trails, safe places to exercise and connect with friends and family. Our investment of $136 million will ensure that this will continue to be a valued asset for our state. We are investing significantly more in BIPOC and LGBTQIA+ organizations in any of the previous years of the legacy appropriation. grants and programs for organizations have more than doubled, almost tripled in that area, and language included in the $195 million arts and cultural appropriation will benefit all of the community. So Article 1 essentially is the outdoor heritage part of the bill, and that's in the crowd here today. We have folks from the Outdoor Heritage Council, and they essentially put forward a proposal, and this bill reflects the proposal that came from their I think it was 48 projects, and they're able to preserve over 121,000 acres of wildlife habitat and 39 miles of shoreline with this bill. So it's really incredible, and I just want to publicly thank the Lessard Sams for their work that they do by meeting for all Minnesotans. They have tons of meetings all through the year, and I believe Representative Heisman was on this committee at this time, and when this I think it was a 12-0 vote to do these proposals. So this bill has that. Article 2 is the Clean Water Fund, about $318 million. And there's also a Clean Water Council. And again, I want to thank them for working on this project. They've listened to the legislature. We've had some suggestions and concerns, and they've included some great projects. I'm looking at Forever Green, for example, has a bold position in this bill, and other projects. And it's so this bill reflects the governor's and the Clean Water Council's recommendations fully. We've added a goal, so we'll see how this goes. But I think it's important to have goals in our world, and we're trying to. We set a goal for the legislature or for the to waters of Minnesota to be clean and fishable and drinkable by 2040. So our goal is to, you know, to make the water protected into the future, and so that's what we're doing there. Article 3 is the Parks and Trails Fund, and there's currently there's three groups. 40% goes to the DNR, and 40% goes to the Metro, and 20% goes to the Greater Minnesota. And I really want to say thank you to the groups that have worked on that, and they're really trying to lean into and be thoughtful about what projects are doing. We've also incorporated some language to work with people with disabilities in this area to get to make sure that you know, because for our parks and trails we're doing a better job, we're trying to add some additional programs in the ICANN program. The ICANN program, if you're not familiar with it, is funded by legacy funds, and it's quite a very popular program, and we're trying to add some additional items to meet the kind of current interest of all Minnesotans. Article 4 is the arts part, and we have $195 million to celebrate our shared cultural history and arts, and we've increased the funding for the regional councils. Our thought is to try to have it expand down to some smaller grant recipients, as well as the bigger recipients. So we're working on that. We also increased education funding for the Arts Board, because I think it's in our committee felt it was important to reach out to the youth of Minnesota to get them interested in the arts and in that activity. Historical Society has many of the projects that were kind of standalone, like we've sent them in through because we had a lot of requests, so they're going through the Historical Society for grants. In this bill, there's funding for libraries, county fairs, public broadcasting, so NPR, public TV, and public radio, zoos around the state, including the chair's Duluth Zoo, an aquarium, Wilderness Inquiry, which is a great program for getting youth out and involved, Science Museum, and even many of you probably don't even know we have a state band, so we've added a little bit of money in for a state band, and it's I think we're the only state in the country to have a band. So we've nearly tripled money for the cultural identity and heritage program that we started a few years ago. And so we're trying to also build capacity. Last year there was 167 groups, or last biennium rather, there was 167 groups, and there was and they were all able to get money. Then there was, so we've tried to meet, there's some groups that have capacity for larger, so there's a provision in there to grow it so they can get larger money than they were able to get last time. The Indian Affairs Council's requests are fully funded, and but essentially that's it. I mean, I certainly can stand for questions. Our committee was focused on increasing the education, which you can kind of hear through the discussion, increasing access. There's free days for different facilities that we've added in, because the thought is to try to open up these facilities that are giving funds and try to get all Minnesotans greater access. And so I think overall this is a good bill, and it's going to make Minnesota a much better place to live and play. So, Madam Chair, if you're so inclined, I'd like to move the amendment.
Yes, that'd be great. So, Chair Lilly, do you want to move the A5 amendment?
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. There was some, you know, there's a couple things that we didn't catch when we were going through a bill that happens. So, not, it's, so I think Representative Heitzman brought this to our attention. So, the item 1.2 is so eligible grants would go back, stay in the CPL program. There's some language that we added to clarify on the low income, who we're really trying to reach in that. And then there was a arts board request, and we had that was a bit of a mistake, so we're trying to make it that they can get some assistance in trying to oversee the program. And then there was some, the children's museums weren't exactly clear, so we were trying to clarify as to what museums we were trying to target in the, because we do have in our state have a bigger children's museum than we have a lot of children's museums that we want to get to too, all over the state. So that kind of covers that. And then there was an article that was missed that we had included on cultural diversity and and we had it in all articles, but we didn't have it in the arts article. So that's the amendment, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Lilly. Discussion to the A5 amendment. Representative Heinzman.
Thank you, Chair. Representative Lilly, just want to confirm, you mentioned that you mentioned the changes to the grant program. We discussed that in committee, and want to just thank you for getting at the CPL grant issue. I'm not sure if this fully resolves it. If it does, you know, great. If it doesn't, we'll continue to hopefully dialogue on that. Also, if you could just quickly explain on line 1.10 through 1.11 in the amendment, the A5, kind of what that shift is and what we're getting at there, that would be helpful. And maybe you already explained that. I apologize.
Representative Lilly.
Madam Chair and Representative Heitzman, in our original budget that came through committee, we had cut the Arts Board their funding to run their office, and it was unfortunate because I don't think we were trying to necessarily hurt them. They do have some real costs in overseeing grants programs. They hand out thousands of grants, and they oversee a lot of the regional work. So there is quite a bit of work. I've been lucky enough to witness one of these, one of these programs, and so we're just trying to be honest and give them an opportunity to cover some of their costs. So thank you, Madam Chair.
Representative Heinzman.
Thank you, Chair. Representative Lilly. You said there was a cut, and since I haven't seen this, if you could maybe help me understand, and I see Mr. Hagemeyer coming forward, so that could be helpful. If just for the benefit of those at home and for the committee, how much was the cut, and are we restoring them to current or previous levels, or are we funding them above and beyond what has been previously appropriated in years past?
Welcome to the committee. Please introduce yourself for the record and proceed.
Madam Chair, I'm Brad Hegmer at the House Fiscal Analysis Department. Representative Heintzman, your question is related to lines 1.10, 1.11, I believe. If you look at line 1, or sorry, through 1.15, this bill appropriated 3.5% of the Arts Board money directly to them for administration of grants. In the past, they've gotten, I believe, 3.5% as a carve-out of their appropriations. So this restores it as a carve-out instead of a direct appropriation, but it also increases it to a 5% administration of the grants that was requested by the agency. I believe 5% is more than they've had in the past.
Representative Heintzman.
Thank you, Chair. I'm not sure where the extra, where that request specifically came from, how it's being utilized. I'm a little concerned that we didn't have an opportunity to hear this previously and maybe a discussion of it. I'll be a no on the amendment, but looking forward to a conversation so I can understand what in the world we're doing, why we're increasing the percentage.
Representative Nash.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And to Chair Lilly, on your A5 amendment that we're looking at, you're increasing between lines 1.10 through 1.17. The increase in spend is $3,986,000. If you could maybe detail for us how you got there, since you're changing and replacing, and I'm not sure if that was heard in committee or not.
Representative Lilly.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and Representative Nash. I'm going to pass to our STAR staff, and if that's okay.
Mr. Hagemeyer.
Madam Chair, Representative Nash, as previously discussing, lines 1.10 through 1.15 are the change that Representative Heintzman was just asking about. That's the administration of grants. So the bill had $936,000 per year directly appropriated to the Arts Board. This puts that money into the rider that they get for grants, and then instead of that, on lines 1.14, they'll now have 5% of the grants total to use for administration of the grants. And then the second piece of the change that you're asking about is 1.16 through 1.17. That's basically a threshold within a rider of operating a budget for the different children's museums. If their budget is above that amount of money, then they qualify under a certain pot, and if it's below the $3 million, they qualify for a different pot of money for children's museums.
Further discussion to the A5? Seeing no further discussion, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, please say nay.
No.
The motion prevails and the A5 amendment is adopted. And we have one more amendment, author's amendment here, the A8. Representative Lilly will move the A8 amendment.
Thank you, Madam Chair. That is my motion.
Great. Would you like to describe it, or what would you prefer here, Representative Lilly?
I'm happy to. I know that's so it's my understanding that there's been discussion with leadership. I'm hearing about this, so that all bills that have budget or grants going through will have a process that there's some checks and balances, and so mine's just happens to be the first. So we're going to see it on other bills as they come through. And then, but I think, some of our bill, anyways, go ahead, that's it, essentially.
Thank you, Representative Lilly. I'll just provide a little background that we actually worked a little bit with Representative Garofalo and others to make sure that we're putting some guardrails around, like we've done in other places, just to make sure where we're have direct appropriations to nonprofits. So I think this is a good governance piece and continue to work through the process. But just a little history, but Representative Lilly is the first budget bill to come through committee to add this on. So Representative Cleavorn.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and to Representative Lilly, I appreciate your putting on this amendment. This amendment comes out of conversations that I have had with Lead Nash in state government finance about the importance of us having grant oversight, and then taking those conversations to leadership and saying, how do we make sure that we are ensuring good governance and grants management oversight? In the state government bill, there will be more language around setting up systems for a statewide enterprise. But for now, I believe that this is an excellent amendment. I thank you for allowing it to be added to your bill. And I would like to thank Lead Nash also for his conversations with me and working with me on grants management oversight. Thank you.
Representative Nash.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Chair Lilly, this is kind of what we've been hoping for, is to say, as we administer grants to nonprofits, that we can actually have a more granular view into the process and get some reports back. I think that this is a really solid start, and I'm grateful to the chair for doing that. You know, as we progress, I would love to maybe see standardized language for everything, and you know, in the essence of bipartisanship, that we can maybe all sit down and walk through some of the more detailed pieces. And but I think this is a great start, and I'm very encouraged to see it. So thank you, Chair Lilly.
Further discussion to the AA. Representative Pinto.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I feel like this really does highlight how much of the challenges, like in the recent OLA report, came out of the legislature's actions. It's sort of easy for us to blame agencies, but when the legislature says you got to give money to this organization, I don't know what else the agency is supposed to do. So I appreciate this amendment. I guess I just want to make sure we kind of use this as a chance to recognize that that the problem is very often us, and this is a chance for us to try to rectify that. Thank you.
Further discussion? Seeing no further discussion to the A8, all those in favor, please say aye.
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 All those opposed, please say nay. The motion prevails and the A8 amendment as adopted. So now we have House File 1999 as amended in front of us. Discussion. Representative Heinzman.
Thank you, Chair. Representative Lilly, we've had a more robust, I'll just say, debate in the Legacy Committee than what we may have had in years past, and I hope that that turns out to be a better finished product. It sounds like we are making some headway in some of the areas that had been especially concerning when it came to grants. I still prefer the committee having the opportunity to see direct appropriations and go through that same process as we have in the past. And it leads to the lack of direct appropriations, leads to some other questions with the grant programs, as mentioned. And I'm not going to want a long, drawn-out discussion today, but there has been a specific project that's been a sticking point, and it's this Carnegie Library building in Park Rapids. I'll point out to the committee today and to those watching that the legacy bill has typically been a bill that almost always gets bipartisan support. And coming out of committee, minus today's amendments, but coming out of committee, it actually had bipartisan opposition. That's a significant departure from what we have seen in the past. And I'd like to believe that we can get back to a bill that has bipartisan support coming out of committee and on the floor. And so the question I want to address today is in line 79.3 through, I think, I'll ballpark it at 79.12. That particular language talks about a $400,000 amount the first year is for grants to organize for local governments. Okay. Representative Lilly, when we read the entire section down to the 79.12, could the Carnegie Library building in Park Rapids be eligible for these dollars?
Representative Lilly.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Representative Heitzman. The historical grants can be applied for by, you know, I think, like I mentioned in committee, there's some thousands and thousands of potential applicants. So anybody can apply for them, and I think that's a good answer. I think they're going to be projects are going to be going through the historical society, and grants will be looked at.
Representative Heinzman.
Thank you, Chair. Just a comment, and I'll leave it at that. That was a very difficult meeting of the Legacy Committee when we went through the House File 2091. And without having to go through that all over again, I would just suggest that there is concern on I think all sides that there are some things happening in this new bill, in this new language that we're just mentioning, in which Representative Lilly just confirmed. It sounds like that whole project could very easily be eligible for monies again. And what I'm hearing from the public and others is that when we have members suggesting that after a difficult conversation, we have to fund this project now, that I can't have the same full faith and confidence that I have in the past, that isn't what's going on in line 79.3 through 79.12 in a grant program, as opposed to a direct appropriation. Those are my concerns, Chair. I appreciate the chance to mention that.
Representative Novotny.
Thank you, Chair. Representative Lilly, on your A5 amendment drew attention to the significant arts installation. I noticed that it's $5 million going to up to three grant organizations, and there's needs to be matching. They're pretty significant grants if we're just going to be splitting up the money between three organizations. Nothing's listed. Is there specific groups that are targeted for that?
Representative Lilly.
Madam Chair and Representative Novotny, that is a new effort that we're attempting. It's to create art of substance, if you will, to create like a art of the stance of like the spoon or cherry, like in Minneapolis, and spread them all over the next in Minnesota for the next 10 years. I don't know if it'll survive, honestly, conference committee. It's a House position. We also have on our committee some interest in doing murals. May I just throw an example? There's some amazing feats that have happened recently. I go first and foremost to Suni Lee, and I just think it'd be pretty amazing to have a major mural in St. Paul, perhaps. Recognizing that, or some other, like the Prince. I don't know if you have an opportunity to see the Prince mural in Minneapolis. So it's not well refined, quite honestly, and it's an art. I mean, it's a thing that we're working on, and it is. So it's. I don't know that it'll survive conference committee, but it's going to be leaning towards arts of substance. You know, maybe like the, you know, putting up in St. Cloud or Duluth or your city, a major piece of artwork. So, and then spreading around the state. So it's not 100%, hopefully the arts board would figure out something. So it's a work in progress, to be quite honest.
Representative Novotny.
So there's just nothing identified at this time. That's just to be clear.
Madam Chair and Representative Novotny, it's a great question, and it is definitely not a specific group of pieces or a piece, but there are some concepts that are moving along, like the one that I mentioned, and some others.
Thank you, Chair.
It's a very good question, actually.
Thank you, Mr. Lynn.
Further discussion to the bill. Representative Nash.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Representative Lilly, I appreciate the effort you put into this. And on your list of supporters, you basically defined both my summertime and fall time activities in a lot of these. I spend, as do many of us, a ton of time on the water and in the woods and hunting and fishing. And if we could do that over this break, that would be fantastic, in my opinion. But something that you just said was a little troubling, because as you and I have known each other for 9 years now, and you know that I like details. and most people find that to be a royal pain in pick a place. But the term art of substance is very open-ended, and I have concerns about that. And you said just a minute ago that it was not well refined, or I maybe misheard, it was not well defined. I think it should be. If we're going to appropriate money, then because you've picked so many places that are in here by name, I would encourage you as this heads towards the floor to please tighten that up, because I think that many people in the state of Minnesota, particularly those that voted for this amendment to go on and become a reality and fund these things, would like to be able to say, I voted to create funding for point to a thing. And is it a mural of SUNY Lee? Great. Then let's define that. Is it a mural of something else? Great. Let's define that. Is it to create a new largest ball of twine? Well, okay. Yep. That's subjective, whether we need that or not. But I'm just encouraging you to make it something that is articulated in the appropriations, because I think that that's not a really unrealistic request that we would have.
You're right.
Of money that we're going to appropriate in a bill that appropriates money for a lot of things by name. And I always struggle with the legacy bill. I always do. I think I voted for a couple. I've voted against others. I want to vote for this one because I do spend a ton of time on the water. I do spend a ton of time in the woods and in pheasant fields. I want to. But it's stuff like this that just sort of very nebulous that makes it really hard for somebody who likes the details, because with details comes accountability. Mm-hmm. So I think that's the gist of where I am right now. I would hope that you would work with Representative Heinzman and the rest of us that may have concerns, because it is quite open-ended, and I think that is a bad pathway forward on a bill that, as Representative Heinzman has said, has received bipartisanship in the past. I would really hope that's something that could be achieved. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Seeing no discussion, I'll go to Representative Lilly to close out his bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, members, for this discussion. I think there's so many amazing things in this bill, and I'm always surprised that people can vote against it. I mean, in every bill that we hear at the legislature, there's things to question, but overall, there's so many amazing things. I know there's libraries in every one of your districts. There's just on and on and on, outdoor projects from one end of Minnesota to the other. And the arts projects are, it's amazing what the regional arts boards do and the big organizations around Minnesota. And we're really leaning into meeting the new Minnesota. I think it's really an amazing bill. We're so lucky as a state to have these funds, and I really hope you can take time. Our staff threw together, for our DFL, went through the bill, and it's amazing what's in there. And I might even share it with the GOP, because it's really amazing what's in this bill, all the different things helping everybody's district. I'm just sorry, but I'd really like to thank our staff. We have, especially the nonpartisan, and Mary Davis, I don't know if she's here, and Janelle Taylor, and Brad Hagemeyer, and who am I? I'm missing somebody. Oh, Helen Roberts, I saw her earlier. But anyways, just amazing nonpartisan staff. But anyways, thank you very much for hearing the bill today. And I hope that I can visit with you and have you look at the bill. Really look at it and read it. There is amazing things all over the state that's done by state agency and our partners, and we really are a blessed state to have this these funds. So thank you for your time today.
Thank you, Representative Lilly. And with that, Representative Lilly renews his motion that House File 1999 as amended be re-referred to the General Register. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed, please say no.
No.
The motion prevails, and House File 1999 as amended has been re-referred to the General Register. Thank you, Representative Lilly.
Thank you, Madam
Chair. Our last bill before we recess is House File 463, Representative Bang. So, Representative Bang, really great to see you. Thanks for being here. And I move that House File 463 be re-referred to the General Register. And with that, if you could describe your bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Good morning, committee members. This bill will borrow $50 million from the bond market and appropriate the proceeds to the Rural Finance Authority, who is sustained Maine's agriculture lending arm, to purchase participating interest in loans issued by private lenders or to make direct loans to farmers under the RFA's Beginning Farmer Loan Restructuring, Seller-Sponsored Agriculture Improvement, and Livestock Expansion Loan Programs. These bonds are user-financed and provide low-interest loans to farmers. It has a strong record of success and minimal default on loans. And with that, I'm happy to take any questions, Madam Chair.
Discussion to House File 463. Seeing no further discussion, do you have anything more to add, Representative Vang?
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is a good bill, and I appreciate the committee's support.
So with that, I renew my motion that House File 463 be re-referred to the General Register. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, please say no. The motion prevails and House File 463 has been re-referred to the General Register. And now we will go into recess till 6 p.m. We'll meet back here, and if anything changes, we will make sure to get an email notification out. So with that, we are in recess. I call this meeting of the House Ways and Means Committee back to order, and a quorum was present before. It is present again now. Thank you, members, for your flexibility in coming back today to take up the last bill, which is House File 2073. Representative Pawlowski, oh, you're already at the testifier table. That was swift. So Representative Pawlowski moves that House File 2073 be re-referred to the General Register. And we have two amendments, and I believe, Representative Pawlowski, we could just take those up first. Would that be your preference?
That would be my preference, Madam Chair. And
great.
Could we take the A2 first?
Yes, happy to do that. So Representative Pawlowski moves the A2 amendment. So would you like to speak to that amendment?
The amendment is a clarifying amendment about a position we put into the bill, and we need this language to make it operative. And if we do need more detail, I'll defer to staff, but that's basically what the amendment does.
Discussion to the A2 amendment. Representative Nash.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I understand the Chair's position. We're not supporting the amendment, but that's no surprise. And in the massive powerhouse that we have over on my side, no. We won't be voting for this, but thank you.
Any further discussion to the A2 amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, please say nay.
No.
The motion prevails and the A2 amendment is adopted. We have one more amendment, which is the same amendment that was offered and will be offered on the omnibus bills. So the A8 amendment, or A3, it was an A8 this morning. The A3 amendment is the financial review of the grant nonprofit. So with that, Representative Pawlowski moves the A3 amendment.
Madam Chair, this is the same amendment I believe we put on the legacy bill, and we'll be putting on almost all finance bills, so there's no difference.
Representative Pawlowski. Representative Nash.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just once again, thank you to the majority for working with us on getting this done. I think this is going to be a valuable thing for the average citizen at home who is watching this, so I encourage a yes vote.
Any further discussion to the A3 amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, please say nay. The motion prevails and the A3 amendment is adopted. Representative Pawlowski, to your bill as amended.
Madam Chair, members, House File 2073 is the higher education budget bill. We had a budget target of $650 million and a TAILS target of $450 million. We met both those targets. We did not exceed them, so the bill is balanced. What we did with that investment, we fully funded a tuition freeze in the MinState system for the next 2 years. We added $48 million over the biennium to the University of Minnesota as one-time funding to address the tuition shortfall. We provided $50 million in the MinState system, and this is by campus, to address campus deficiencies. These campus deficiencies have risen to a point where they were cutting program, staff, and faculty. This should, in one time, at least stop or almost abate all of them. We provided $1 million each year to the three tribal colleges. This is a significant base adjustment. So this is $3 million for those tribal colleges. We fully funded the University of Minnesota's safety and security request for $10 million, and then we added $2 million in the base. Madam Chair, that's pretty much the bill.
Thank you, Representative Pawlowski. Discussion to the bill as amended. Representative Nash.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and to the author. Representative Pawlowski, is there, with the news of the day, is there a potential savings that we might have moving forward?
Madam Chair, Representative Nash, I sat here 10 years ago today, and I presented the higher ed bill. And in that, we had prevented any type of administrative bonus at both the University of Minnesota and the Minn State system. We also had language in there that that would have stopped had it gotten out of conference committee, certain increases in salaries. I've been there a decade ago. I'd love to go back again.
Representative Nash.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair, and Representative Pawlowski. Let us know how to help. We're, we'd be happy to come along for the ride.
Okay.
Further discussion to the bill? Seeing none, I'll go to Representative Pawlowski for the last word on your bill.
Madam Chair, this is a record increase in higher education. It's long overdue. We have declining enrollment across all our systems, the University of Minnesota, the privates, and also Minn State. This is a stabilizing bill. It's a bill that will keep tuition flat and hopefully will restore what we need to have in this state, a higher education system that provides affordability and access and gives us a skilled workforce.
Thank you, Representative Pawlowski. So seeing no further discussion, Representative Pawlowski moves that House File 2073, as amended, be re-referred to the General Register. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, please say nay.
No.
The motion prevails, and House File 2073, as amended, has been re-referred to the General Register. And we have no further business in front of us, and so we will be adjourning, and we'll see you all after the break. So have a lovely break. We are adjourned.